Welcome to the ministry of Gene Fraser. We trust that the word you're about to hear will have a transforming effect on your life. Now, here's Gene with today's message.
James chapter 2, in verse 14. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warm and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Faith without works is dead. And I want to tell you that word dead in verse 17, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. That means destitute of force or power. We've been learning about the power of God. Faith with no works is dead. It is powerless. It's destitute of power. It's inactive. It's inoperative. It won't work. Or we could say it's dead. And so, but I want to show you then over in verse 20, just a few more scriptures. I just loved it. I noticed this today. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? You'd kind of think, oh, well, same Greek word, right? It's not. It's kind of the same, but it's a different word. The first one was nekros. And this one, verse 20, it's argos. That word dead, it means lazy. Shunning the labor which one ought to perform. Isn't that powerful? So we could say inoperative faith or dead faith. We could also say sometimes it's just lazy faith. Lazy faith. So just because we have faith, we've all been given a measure of faith. When we're born again, no one can say, oh, well, I don't even have any faith. If you're born again, you've been given a measure of faith. Amen? And our faith is to grow, of course. But we've all been given a measure. But we want to check up on ourselves. And, you know, who's ever thought to themselves, man, my faith just doesn't seem to be working. Anybody ever thought that before? Well, we might want to check and understand, realize maybe, hey, is my faith dead? Is my faith lazy? Is it shunning the labor which it ought to perform? We talk a lot around here about not just hearing the word of God, but doing the word of God. We can hear the word so much, we could just blow up from it. All the word maybe some of us have heard. But it's doing the word of God. That's why we're hearing it. We're not hearing it just to get more knowledgeable. We're actually hearing it and learning to actually do it. Could you imagine that? He's empowered us to do this. His words are filled with the very power to do what they say. Faith is simple. I could hold a blow dryer in my hand and be like, oh, and I almost brought mine tonight, but I didn't. If I just had my blow dryer standing here, I mean, it's just going to be silly, but it's true and it's simple. And the cord's just kind of dangling, right? I'm just kind of holding. I'm like, guys, will you help me? I can't figure out. I don't know why my blow dryer is not working. Right? Pretty simple. You'd be like, Pastor G, you need to take the plug and plug it in the power source over there. Would that not be so silly for me to stand here with my blow dryer in my hand, cord dangling, I might even trip over it, saying, I don't get it. I don't know why my blow dryer is not working. So even so, I feel like tonight, Holy Ghost just going to illuminate and help us. Whether tonight with things or just as we go out in life, when the next time we come up against something, be like, man, why isn't my faith working? We got to look, is the cord dangling? Or are we plugged into the power source? This blow dryer, I know this blow dryer works. And I know in that socket there's a lot of power, but I'm not seeing any power coming out of that thing yet. And this blow dryer ain't working. But if I'll take that plug, plug it in, all of a sudden things change. So there's something, what is it that would be missing if we've got faith and we know we've got God, who's the God of all power. He is the ultimate power source. So if we've got faith, and we do have faith because we were told we have faith, we've all been given a measure of faith. So if I've got faith and I know God's got power, what's up? What connects it is our works. We could say our works is what connects our faith to God's power. It's what taps into the power of God. Because faith by itself is dead, but faith with works is alive. And it's powerful, and it works, glory to God. So isn't that amazing? We think the word faith, oh yeah, great word. But sometimes not necessarily. You got to know if it's alive or not. Because there's dead faith, lazy faith. So we don't want to be people that are lazy in the natural, and how much even more in the spirit. Spiritually, we do not want to be spiritually lazy, shunning the very labor with which we are to be performing, taking the words of God, the words of faith, and putting them into action in our life, walking them out, doing them. Like we said, works is what connects our faith to the power of God. Works is what accesses the power of God and then releases it into our situation. We need the power of God in our situations, amen? So why isn't the power of God seem to be in some of our situations? Well, maybe our faith has been lazy. Maybe we're not plugged in. Got that works cord, plug that in and get that power flowing into our situation. But like, what is works? Okay, we can say it like this. It's our reaction or our response to the word of God. Us acting on the word. Not just hearing the word. Amen. Us acting upon the word. Action is the completion of our faith. Faith is not completed without action. Faith is dead. But action, or we can say works, action is the completion to our faith. So if you think, hey man, I don't know what, my faith just doesn't seem to be working. Well, it sounds like you need some action. Or we could say it this way, what about obedience? Because you think action, well, God's word filled with what he says, this and that, this situation, that situation, and then sometimes even just, you know, we have the word of God, which is it's a strong prophetic word, this word of God. And then there's other times just in our heart, you know what the Holy Spirit's saying to you about a specific situation. What about just doing that, obeying that, what the word is telling us? You know, I think of even tithing right there, but sometimes, you know, people, and just, I say this to help, you know, you guys know we love you around here, you know, it's like, we're going to make it whether you tithe or not. I mean, it's not up to, you know, you, that if you tithe or not, whether the church is going to make it or not. The church has come this far with people not tithing. It's going to make it all the way through. Amen. Trying to get it over to you that it's to your advantage. You tithe. It's to your advantage. You plug into the power through your obedience of the word of God concerning your money. You know, the first thing happens, you know, situations happen or whatever. And what's the first thing people think? Oh, well, you know, I can't tithe this week. Well, they surely didn't think, oh, well, we can't eat this week, right? That wasn't an option. Sometimes maybe it should be. But I'm just saying, just watching our thinking, you know, watching our thinking. That should not be our first response. Oh, I can't tithe this week. That bad answer. Amen. You're not staying connected to the power of God there. And who knows, we need the power of God flowing into our lives, even concerning money and finances. So that's not where you cut it off. You find something else. And really, you don't have to find something else necessarily. You just do what you know to do. You First of all, you read scriptures concerning tithes. You build up your faith. You know, I know, glory to God. You know, we're not just saying just throw your tithe in and walk away thinking, oh, Lord, there goes my money. Now I have nothing. Don't do that. You want to give in faith, just like anything we do. We want to do it. So first, before you give your tithe, glory to God, you want to be in faith. So you get yourself in faith. How do you get in faith? You feed on the word of God concerning those things. So here, concerning money, concerning tithing and offerings and things, you get built up, you get strong in that word. Let it become revelation to you. Let God light it up to you. And that revelation brings strength. And then you do it, glory to God. In those words of revelation, in the light that comes to you, the words carry power to do the very thing that it's saying that you're reading to do. Amen. His words carry power. And so then, glory to God, you think, glory to God, I'm doing it. I'm just doing it. And you got yourself built up, and you go ahead and you do that thing, or you bring that tithe, and you watch what God does in those finances. But see, so many times we short-circuit the power of God. We short-circuit God being able to move in our life because we come up with what we need to do instead of sticking with the word of God and doing what he told us to do. And I can't tell you how it's all going to work out and stuff. But I know it'll work out. I mean, God didn't lie. It works out. So it's about obedience. John chapter 2. While we go there, I want to say this. Many times we think we need to have something. Or you think, I have to have more money. Yeah, I pay the bills. Yeah. Many times we think we need to have something, but rather we need to do something. It can be just simply obeying the word of God, what he said concerning tithing, offering, concerning whatever the instructions in our book of life called the Bible is. Just simply doing the words of God. John chapter 2, let's just read in verse 1. On the third day there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Whatever he says to you, do it." Now there were set there 6 water pots of stone, according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. Jesus said to them, "Fill the water pots with water." And they looked at each other and they questioned and murmured, "What is he wanting us to do?" What? No. What did they do? And they filled them up to the brim. He said it. They did it. They didn't question him. They did it. And he said to them, "Draw some out now and take it to the master of the feast." Oh, Lord. Think about that for a minute. So the master of the feast has said, we're out of wine. We need more wine. And so Mary, Jesus' mother, she must have known something about Jesus, saying, "Whatever he tells you, do it." And so he tells them, "Fill these water pots up with water." They go and they fill it up with water. And then he says to draw some out now. In other words, like pour a glass for the master of the feast and bring it to him. Jesus, this was water, right? I mean, just get the feel of it for a minute. It was water. You know how they know it was water? Because they're the ones that filled it with water. They filled those babies with water. And now Jesus is telling them, pour it, pour him a glass and bring it to him, the master of the feast. And what happened? And they took it. I mean, just simple, just Jesus said, do it. They did it. Jesus said, did this. They did this. Jesus said, do that. They did that. I wonder how it felt to be one of them that day. One of those that poured the water in the water pot, and then Jesus told them, now take a cup and bring it to him. I mean, you talk about faith. You talk about obedience. You talk about the power of God having a way through faith of what Jesus did say, and then their obedience made the way for this miracle that day. They brought that cup, they brought that to the master of the feast, and what happened? When the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom. And he said to him, every man at the beginning sets out the good wine, and when the guests have well drunk, then that which is inferior, but you have kept the good wine until now. So he's saying this wine was even better than the real wine. I guess this was the real, real wine. Jesus got the real wine. Woo, you can get drunk on that right there. Woo, glory. Jesus got the real wine. Hallelujah. His wine is better. Obviously, his wine is better than the world's wine. Even back then. But it was whatever he says to you, do it. And they did it. They had such value on Jesus' words. So it's time for us to be strengthened in faith in what God's words, what he has said to us, so that we too can have such value on God's words. When he just simply tells us to do something, we do it. Whatever. We can simply do it. Faith doesn't have to be hard. Guess what makes faith hard? Disobedience makes faith hard. Why? Because then faith doesn't work. Right? Because it's obedience that's the plug that connects our faith to the power and brings results. So it really is that simple. But see, who knows too much, our mind and the world and da-da-da-da-da and past experiences and Aunt Martha's situation that she had and what happened there. We got to cut all of that out. And we got to, this is what the word says. This is what Jesus says to me. And this is the way I'm going to do it. I'm not going to sit there and question it and think about it too long and doubt it. I'm going to feed on it and let it become a part of me until it just comes out of me. And I simply do what Jesus says. Their obedience released the power of God and changed that water into wine just in time. Genesis chapter 22, let's go there. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. And he said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. I mean, again, sometimes you got to just stop and you're, okay, this really happened. God really said this to Abraham one day. And what happened? So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Simple obedience brings powerful results. I mean, Abraham could have been like, God, are you sure? What? That doesn't make a lot of sense. You just gave me him. I just received him by faith. And now you're wanting me to give him to you. You wanting me to sacrifice him. And none of it made sense up here, did it? None of it was clear up here. But God had a plan. God was testing his man. Now that he received his son, was he going to love his son more than God? Or did he still love God the most? Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young man, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship. And we, everybody say we will come back to you. Reminds me of Jesus, remember? With the disciples, the storm, all that stuff that went on. He said, but Jesus said, we're going over to the other side before they ever went out there. And then look what, it wasn't looking like they were going to make it to the other side, but Jesus said. were going over to the other side. The disciples could have gotten that. But they learned the lesson nonetheless. But you see, they could have just, those words, and us as Jesus' disciples today, what did Jesus say? We're going over to the other side. So no matter what happens between point A and point B, if Jesus told me that we're going over to the other side, guess what I know? That we're going over to the other side. So no matter what happens in the middle, I'm going to keep my head straight and my eyes fixed on Jesus, because he told me I'm going over to the other side. And you think, how in the world could that possibly be? Don't you see? But I know what Jesus said to me. And he said, I'm going over to the other side. Simply said. We have so many examples to learn from, don't we? And you think about it, these people back then, they didn't really have all these examples that we have. They are our examples. They didn't have them. And they did it. Who knows? We can do it. Verse 7, but Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. And he said, look, the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for a burnt offering? So Isaac's saying, hey, dad, we're forgetting the offering. We don't have an offering. Abraham said, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. And the two of them went together. And think about, I mean, even there, the son, I mean, all the questions. What do you mean he's going to provide? Let's get ourselves a sacrifice. What are we waiting for? What if we don't, you know? But he didn't question his father. Just like Abraham didn't question his father. How powerful is that? Isaac trusted his father. Okay. My dad said it simply. Okay. And the two of them went together. Then they came to the place of which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there, placed the wood in order. He bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. And he said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And notice, it could have said, now I know that you love God more than your son. But it's interesting, it was fear. Now I know that you fear God. You know, to fear God is to love God. To love God is to fear God. But now I know, since you've not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. Everybody say, a ram caught in a thicket. We miss out too many times on finding our ram caught in a thicket because we think too much, because we process it too much in our pea-sized brain. This brain, this mind can never wrap around in the spirit what we can find, the miraculous realm of God. Miracles, miracles, miracles. It's our obedience brings his power. It's not power from us that needs to come. It's just obedience from us that needs to come. And that brings the power. It releases the power. God's not holding anything back from us. I mean, he wants all miracles to flow in our life. And what, I mean, miracles, it's a big word. I mean, first of all, of course, immediately, I think, you know, of healing, you know, miracles in a body, but even finances or just, I mean, whatever, across the board. And when I was driving here, I heard the Holy Ghost say to me, I'm endeavoring to position you for the miraculous, meaning you, meaning the church tonight as I was coming to ministering. I'm endeavoring to position you for the miraculous. Now, we definitely have seen miracles around here. We have. Now, I'm looking at a few of you ladies, lumps in your breasts, they were gone. I mean, we have had, I mean, numerous, numerous miracles that have happened. So we're a blessed people. The power of God flows in this place, amen? But what about flowing through you out in your life? And I know that there have been some, that there have been miracles in your life too. Glory to God. But guess what? There can be more. And if you haven't had any, they're available. His obedience released the power of God into that situation and brought what was needed just in time. Once again, notice the two that I've shared here with the wine and who knows, that was just in time. You talk about like taking it to the end. Just in time. And then here, I mean, he had the knife up. He was over, he had the knife, and here's his, just in time. I think of blind Bartimaeus. We won't turn there, but over in Mark 10, verse 46, over in there, it talks about blind Bartimaeus, and it talks about how he began to cry out. What does that tell me? He didn't just cry out once. He was determined. He knew Jesus was going by. He must have known something about Jesus. If he could just get his attention, he could receive a manifestation of the miraculous in his life. He knew he just needed to get his attention. So it says he began to cry out, meaning he didn't stop until he finally got Jesus' attention. And Jesus stopped and said, bring him here. And what happened? It says that he threw off his robe. That robe signified that he was a blind man. And he thought to himself, I won't need this anymore. And he actually threw that robe off as he went to Jesus. He didn't receive his sight yet. He was walking still blind, but he didn't have his coat on anymore. And he's getting there, and then he gets there, and then Jesus, I think he said he laid hands on him or whatever happened there. But then he says, your faith, he said, just receive your sight. Your faith has made you whole. Your faith, not my power, because it's automatically, of course, God's power. But he said, it's kind of, we could say in other words, it's your faith in my power has made you well. Because my power can make you well. God's power can do anything. But it's our faith in his power that connects us to it. And our obedience to what he says brings it through. Access. Amen. Because sometimes, you know, we think, oh, well, works. Well, what would that works be? I mean, we're seeing some works that in these passages that we're, you know, talking about with Abraham. I mean, the works, faith without works was dead. I mean, he put some work to, I mean, he got the stuff together. He was going to sacrifice his son. I mean, that's proven some mighty obedience right there. Just doing what God said. But what about simply just works could just even be that obedience of just resting and just not worrying about it anymore. Just keep casting the care and keeping it casted. You know, just that, the works, adding the works to your faith. You know something, you have it, you take it, and then adding the works to that brings the power of God through. And maybe it's just that peace. It's just that, how do you say it? Just that, it's done, and I'm at peace, and that's the end of it, you know? Works can just be staying in that place of faith. Joshua, let's go there. Joshua 6. So blind Bartimaeus, his faith in action was simply a reaction to what he believed. And remember, it started out, he was saying, he was crying out with a loud voice. He began to cry out. He didn't stop until he got Jesus' attention. He believed something. If he got Jesus' attention, he knew what would happen. So his faith in action was just simply a reaction to what he believed. If I just get his attention, glory to God, I'm going to see. And his faith in the power of God brought it to be. Joshua chapter 6. We're going to read through here. Oh, I love this. Now Jericho was securely shut up because the children of Israel, none went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given, you can underline that in your Bible if you haven't already, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor. Now if you know this, he hadn't yet. This has not happened yet. But again, God is speaking, just like Jesus going over to the other side. God speaking forth his faith before it even happens. God said here, I have given Jericho into your hand, And then what happens in verse 3? So God spoke. And then what happens verse 3? They do. He gives them the orders that he's to obey. Verse 3, you shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go all around the city once. Then you shall do 6 days. Are you seeing this? God said, I have given it to you. But now, the next verse, but now there's something for you to do. I have given it to you, but there's some action I need to see from you. There's some faith I need to see from you. There's some completion to this faith through action that I want from you. I want to see if you really believe what I said. And then look what God does. You know, again, here, before we get into this, it just seems so foolish. Some of you, probably most of us know the story, what happens here, you know. But I think of Naaman, the leper. He was told to go dip 7 times. I mean, that man, you want me to go dip in that set? What, are you kidding me? That is so stupid. That is so childish. That is so dumb. None of that makes sense. But see, Naaman didn't go by here. He went by here and he obeyed the command. And what happened? 7th time. It wasn't 6 times. If he stopped at 6, guess what? He would have left leprous. He had to bring it all the way through to the end, the completion, the obedience that God had said to him through the prophet what to do. And he did it. And he wasn't a leper anymore. Because he was willing to do something so foolish. It said, obviously, sometimes people in such a desperate situation will be so much more willing to do something so foolish because they're so desperate. And I wonder sometimes if that's why we're not so willing to do something that seems so foolish, because we're not yet so desperate. I don't want to get to the desperate point. We don't need to get to the desperate point. We can grow right now with what we know, in what we know. And I'm willing to be foolish. Whatever God tells me to do, I'll do it. And I endeavor to do it. And I know you too. Amen? Sometimes it seems so foolish. Sometimes it makes absolutely no sense. It looks so dumb. You feel like you're going to look like a fool. Whatever, it's going to throw away your pride. I mean, hey, Naaman, right? I mean, he did it. We can too. So back to Jericho. So here now God says, okay, verse 3, you shall march around the city, all you men of war, and you shall go around the city once, then you shall do 6 days, and 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark, but the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. Then it shall come to pass, when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout, then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up, every man straight before him. So Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said to them, take up the ark of the covenant, and blah, blah, blah. So he tells them what to do, da, da, da. Verse 10, watch this. Now Joshua had commanded the people, saying, now notice it wasn't God. This wasn't in God's instructions. This was in Joshua's instructions. Now Joshua had commanded the people, saying, you shall not shout or make any noise with your voice, nor shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I say to you, shout, then you shall shout. And you know why? Because Joshua didn't want any doubt to come out. So he told them, don't say a word. It says right there, don't let any voice or shout or voice or any word proceed out of your mouth. You know, it reminds me of Zacchaeus. The mouth shut up when he was told it. You know the story over there. I keep going off another. But here, I mean, he's telling them, don't even open your mouth. Because there was a lot maybe they could have complained about. I mean, I don't know what, but he told them don't talk. And then what happened? It actually happened. This actually happened. They did exactly, because you think about it, what if they, you know, even sometimes, you know, people are so finicky. Of course, nobody in here. It's too cold, it's too hot, it's too bright, it's too loud. It's like you'll never please everybody. We've come to that conclusion. So suck it up, buttercup. And honestly, when you try to, here we go on another tangent, when you try and please people, it gets off too much and you actually start displeasing the Lord. Don't seek to please people. Seek to please the Lord, and he'll cause you to have favor with anyone you need to have favor with and be pleasing to them. But what I was going to say there was, you know, you think about it, don't even talk. You know, because think about it. I mean, so we got to march around, and I'm sure, you know, I mean, march around this city 6 days. I mean, think of how foolish this looks. I mean, these are men of war, and you don't want us to go in there and just fight? You want us just to walk around this city, right? 6 days, one time. So they'd walk around one time, they'd go back, and they'd 6 days. And then, if anything, maybe they could have gotten through that without complaining or leaking their opinion, what they thought or how they think it should have been or what we should have done instead of what God said, because God said this. But now on the seventh day, I mean, so we can't just do it. We've been doing it one time the last 6 days, God. Really? On the seventh day, we have to do it seven times? I mean, don't you think one is enough? That would make a total of seven times. Isn't that good enough? You know, I mean, no, seven times. That last day, they had to walk around that wall seven times. And they were obedient to everything that was said. And it happened. The miraculous of God. They were given the city. And notice this. They shouted, and then it fell. That is so key to having victory seen all the way through. Oh, man. If we can just shout before it falls. Shout before it falls. Because if they were waiting for it to fall, they would have never shouted after all. But they shouted before it fell. And that thing went down into the ground just like God told them. So really, it's pretty simple, right? Just do it. And there'll always be your ram in a thicket if we're willing to do it. Don't question it. Don't mumble about it. Don't text a few friends and see what they think about it. Definitely don't get on Facebook and get a prayer chain going. Should I do this? God says do it, we do it. And again, we've got his word, the basics of the word of God of things to do, not to do, right? And then we've got the Holy Spirit and specific things in our specific lives of what we know he's speaking to us. You know, we think, you know, how about this? Like maybe God's maybe been really stirring in you to, you know, spend some more time with him or spend some time with him every day or, you know, whatever that might be. Just those things that you just know he's kind of been working on you with. Understand that when we don't do that, we're disobeying God. We think, well, it's not in the Bible, but it's in your heart. And we don't want to go against our heart. It doesn't feel good. Anyone ever gone against their heart on something? It doesn't feel good. And you just kind of seem to live in that constant state of like condemnation because your heart knows what your heart wants to do. And so we're going to do it. Amen? Whatever he tells us to do, we're going to do it. Whether it's in the word of God clearly shows us what to do or in our heart, things he's speaking to us specifically, we're going to be obedient. We're going to do it. Because again, remember, it's not in our own strength. We have the Holy Spirit. He is the power of God. And he lives in you and me if we have been filled with the Spirit of God. Amen? God knew, thank God. Lord, they need help. We got to send them a helper. Aren't you glad he did? We've got a helper. And what I find myself saying so many times, and I'll say it again now, through the very words that the command or the instructions, you know, the direction, the things that God says to do, to us, in those words are carriers of God's power. So that the very power that we need to do, we have it. It's in those words that we've heard, in those words that we read on and feed upon. Amen. So it's not just up to us to do it. We have the power to do it. The words, the instructions, the directions, the words of God, it carries the power to do the very thing that it's saying. Amen. Hallelujah. Why don't we stand to our feet? Thank you, Lord. Thank you for helping us to see even greater in greater clarity. Lord, you're endeavoring to position us for the miraculous. Help us that we wouldn't settle for anything less than your best, God, in everything in our life. That if we would just be so obedient and bold and just simply do what we are being told, we are connecting ourselves to your power source. Hallelujah. And we can see the miraculous of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Help us to see beyond the walls and veils of carnality, beyond where you are, God, where your miraculous does so flow, where your words and revelations cause us to oh so grow, where your Spirit leads us on into even the deeper things of God before we move on. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We're hungry, Lord. We're hungry to see these miracles that ought to be. We're hungry. We're going to do it, Lord. Whatever you say, we're going to do it. And we know that there will be a ram in the thicket. As we do it, we know there'll be a ram in the thicket. As we do it, we know there'll be a ram in the thicket. As we do it, we know there'll be a ram in the thicket. As we do it, we know there'll be a ram. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Uncovering realms. Uncovering realms of the miraculous. It's time to go in. It's time to see. It's for you, it's for me. Oh.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Gene Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org or call 888-542-2555. You can hear more messages by Gene Fraser by going to her media page at genefraser.org. While you're there, you'll also find more information about Gene's bi-monthly Ladies Bible Studies and a Night in the Glory Ladies Meetings, as well as her annual You Glow Girl Ladies Conference. That website again is genefraser.org. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.